Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're building an advanced Think Break switch-up in Ableton Live 12 for Smoky Warehouse Jungle and Old School D&B Energy. The goal here is not to throw in a random break edit just to show off. We want a phrase change that feels functional, dusty, and intentional. Something that resets the room, shifts the pressure, and then drops you back into the main tune with more weight than before. This kind of switch-up usually lives right in that middle ground between loop-based writing and full-arrangement movement. Maybe it comes after your intro has established the drums and bass. Maybe it sits right before the second drop. Either way, it needs to do a job. It should make the track breathe, not lose momentum. And in jungle and old-school-leaning D&B, that matters a lot, because the break is not just percussion. The break is the mood. It tells the listener what kind of space they're in. So start with the musical purpose before you touch any sound design. Ask yourself, is this a pre-drop tease, a mid-track pivot, or a darker second drop variation? Once you know the job, place a clean 4-bar or 8-bar zone in arrangement view and keep the surrounding drums and bass looping so you can judge the change in context. That's important. A switch-up that sounds cool on its own can fall apart once the low end comes back. Now pick a break with personality. Think Break Energy works really well here, but any break with clear ghost notes, swing, and some tonal air can work. You want something with snare identity, head to tail, and enough texture to survive reworking. If the source already sounds like a record when muted under the rest of the track, that's usually a good sign. If it's too clean, too polite, or too pack-like, it may never feel authentic enough for this style. Once the source is chosen, warp or slice it with groove in mind, not perfection. In Ableton Live 12, keep it in arrangement view and edit just enough so the first hit lands correctly, then leave some of the human push and pull intact. If you're slicing to simpler, great. If you're working on an auto lane, also great. The key is not to overquantize every fragment. Let the snare sit tight, but allow ghost notes to breathe. Sometimes nudging ghost hits a few milliseconds later makes the groove feel more smoked out. Sometimes pulling a hat fragment slightly earlier gives it that nervous, rolling momentum. You're not building a grid exercise. You're building a phrase with attitude. What to listen for here? Does it still feel like a drummer leaning into a warehouse PA, or does it sound edited to death? If you hear the edit instead of the groove, back off. The break should breathe. From there, think in call and response. A great old-school switch-up usually works like a short conversation. One bar establishes the groove. The next bar changes the rules. Maybe you drop the kick for a beat. Maybe you leave a snare space. Maybe you use a half bar gap or a reverse pickup. The point is contrast. If every bar is equally full, the break never gets the chance to say anything. A very strong structure is something like this. One bar with the full break pattern. One bar where the kick drops out and the ghost notes carry the motion. Then a bar where the kick returns but one hat or shuffle hit is removed, and finally a bar with a small turnaround into the next section. That little question and answer shape is what makes the switch-up feel like a proper record moment rather than a random loop variation. Now let's make it smoky without turning it muddy. A really solid stock device chain here is EQ8 into saturator or drum bus into EQ8. With EQ8, high pass the break gently if it's fighting the kick and sub. Often somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz is enough, depending on the source. If it sounds boxy, carve a bit around 250 to 400 Hz. If the snare is getting buried, a small presence lift around 3 to 6 kHz can help. Then use saturator lightly, just enough to thicken transients and bring out some grime. We're talking controlled drive, not destruction. Why this works in D&B is simple. The break needs grit and identity, but the sub and kick still own the real weight. If you overcook the break, you flatten the transient language that makes old-school D&B hit so hard. The magic is in keeping the break readable while giving it that worn-in, warehouse feel. What to listen for now? Does the snare still punch through after the processing, or did the saturation smear its shape? If the answer is no, reduce drive and restore clarity with targeted EQ instead of just pushing more distortion. At this point, choose your direction. You can go raw tension or atmospheric tension. Raw tension means you keep the break mostly dry. Minimal filtering, restrained saturation. Let the edit and the swing do the work. That's often best for harder rollers where the drums need to stay front and center. Atmospheric tension means you lean into a subtle auto-filter sweep or maybe a short, dark reverb on selected ghost hits. Not the whole break, just the moments that need a bit of room tone and smoke. Keep the reverb short and controlled. If the snare tail starts smearing into the next kick, it's already too much. The goal is tension, not FOB machine overload. Next, Bring the bass line back in and test the switch up in context. This is where a lot of producers get trapped, because the break can feel exciting on its own and then collapse when the sub returns. In jungle and old school DNB, the bass line and the break often share rhythmic space, so you need to decide who owns the subdivision. If the bass is a sustained sub or a res, let the break carry more syncopation. If the bass is already busy, simplify the break. One element should dominate the small rhythmic details while the other reinforces the pulse. Also keep the low end disciplined. Anything below the kick and bass crossover should not be wandering around the stereo field. If the break has low tom energy or widened junk, tighten it up. Mono compatibility matters, especially in club systems where the bottom end needs to stay focused. Once the core groove feels right, add one purposeful effects gesture and stop. Seriously, stop there if it works. A reverse hit into the downbeat, a filtered snare pickup, or a tiny chop delay tail is usually enough. You do not need five transition tricks stacked on top of each other. In fact, the most convincing switch-ups usually have one clear punctuation mark and a lot of restraint around it. A nice simple move in Ableton is to duplicate the last hit, reverse it, fade it into the next downbeat, and high pass or low pass it depending on whether you want to air or thud. Or use echo very lightly on a single snare fragment with short feedback and a filtered repeat. If that gesture gives the phrase its identity, print it to audio and commit. That's often a smart move in advanced DNB work, because once the switch up works, you want to move from micro-editing into arrangement quickly. Now use automation to tell the listener where the energy is going. Small moves go a long way here. You can automate an auto-filter cutoff down into a darker band before the return. Maybe bring it from a brighter top end down into a narrower range. You can dip the volume slightly on the final bar to make the drop return harder. You can send just the last hit or two into reverb or echo. You can even pull the whole switch up back a couple of dB with utility if it needs to step out of the way before the drop. What to listen for now? Does the room feel like it's narrowing before the drop and then opening back up when the main section returns? That's the emotional shape you want, not a collapse, a controlled squeeze. Then test the whole thing like a DJ would hear it. Loop the previous section, the switch up, and the return. Ask yourself two questions. Does the snare still hit hard enough after the edits? And does the return feel bigger than what came before it? If either answer is no, don't add more stuff. Usually the fix is subtraction. Remove one ghost hit. Shorten one tail. Simplify the final bar. In this style, negative space is power. For the advanced pass, don't reuse the exact same switch up later in the track. Change one thing the second time around. Maybe remove a bar before the drop. Maybe swap a snare fill for a rim or tom fragment. Maybe widen only the top of the break for one phrase and then pull it back to center. That keeps the arrangement alive and prevents the tune from sounding copy-pasted. A good mindset here is to treat the switch up like a functional edit, not a feature moment. The best dark DNB switch-ups often feel inevitable. They change the pressure in the room without drawing attention to the fact that they were edited. And if you're not sure whether to keep tweaking, bounce a version, step away for 10 minutes, then come back and ask three things. Can I still identify the main snare? Is the groove moving forward? And does this section make the next section feel bigger? If yes, you're in a good place. A few quick reminders before we wrap up. Don't over-edit every slice into a rigid grid. Don't let the break compete with the sub. Don't drown it in reverb just to make it sound atmospheric. And don't let the FX gesture become the main event. The break itself should carry the identity. One scar sound, one clear phrase change, one good return. That's often enough. So the takeaway is this. A strong think break switch up in DNB is about phrase, tension, and club function. Keep the break character, shape the low end, and make every move serve the arrangement. Build it in context. Use one clear transition gesture and leave enough space for the drop to feel bigger when it comes back. If it sounds like a smoky room with a pulse and a purpose, you're on the right track. Now I want you to try the 4-bar exercise. Use one break source, stock Ableton devices, no more than 3 edits, one EQ move on the low end, and choose either raw tension or atmospheric tension. Keep it tight, keep it intentional, and trust the groove. That's how you get from chopped loop to proper warehouse phrase change.